Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. The Inside Analog Photo radio program is all about the traditional photographic process. We talk about all aspects of analog photography, including the hybrid workflow. You can find out more information over at www.insideanalogphoto.com. And of course, Inside Analog Photo is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. These guys have the coolest instant photography materials known to mankind. They have, of course, the pack film in 3.25 by 4.25 and 4x5, color and black and white. They have the Instax systems in the wide format, the Instax 210 camera and film, and of course, the Instax Mini in the Instax Mini 7 and the Instax Mini 25, both in color film. Beautiful stuff. There's nothing cooler than instant photography. You get a print, because if you don't have a print, you don't have a real photograph. This is great fun stuff. This is great for art. This is great for business. This is cool stuff. You definitely want to check them out over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends over at Photo Publicist, providing worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development for the photographer, turning photographers into celebrities. You can find out more information over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the highest quality work known to mankind anywhere on this planet. Unbelievable developing, scanning, and of course, output on high quality Fuji Crystal Archive. Unbelievable cool stuff these guys are up to. And remember, you don't have a photograph unless you have a print in your hand and you need to print your pictures. This is important. You need to supply proofs to your customers and even print your own work, because it's not about looking at it on a monitor. It's about holding a print in your hand. Definitely check these guys out at Richard Photo Lab, of course, at richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5, DR5 Chrome Black and White Developing, that turns your black and white neg into, that's right, black and white chrome. Unbelievable stuff. www.dr5.com. Our friends over at Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com for the camera strap that will not slip off your shoulder, guaranteed bar none, the coolest strap around. Our friends at Iger Studios for the finest quality drum scans known to mankind, igerstudios.com. Our official media partner, APUG, the Analog Photography User Group, for all things traditional photographic process on the web, www.apug.org. And our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, over at www.eastmanhouse.org. Today on Inside Analog Photo Radio, we're going to have with us Zoe Weissman. Zoe started out in 1974 as a model. She started photographing in 2001. She does a lot of great work, and what Zoe's doing is figure studies, the combination of the nude figure and landscape. Zoe, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. I hope you are too, and thank you for having me on.
Everything's great here, and I really appreciate you joining us here on Inside Analog Photography. Great to have you on the program today to talk about yourself, your photography, your use of film, and everything that you're up to. So, Zoe, let's talk about yourself. Now, you've been a model for many years. You're currently a model, and you're doing a lot of stuff. So let's go back to pre-photography.
Well, I was a model since 1974, when I was 4 years old as a child. And I worked with agencies as a fashion model for years and years in Indianapolis. When I lived there, I was working the tri-state area, Chicago, Indianapolis, Louisville, Cincinnati, Detroit, and sometimes Miami as a model. And I met my husband in Indianapolis. And he stole me away to New Orleans. In New Orleans, the market for modeling wasn't very profitable or anything. So I started getting into a lot of fine art nudes. And I met a photographer there named Bryce Lankard. He and I worked together for about 10 years. And he basically taught me just about everything that I know about photography. He introduced me to Collector's Photography magazine, which is how I became introduced to Jeff Dunas and his work, and how I really learned a lot about figure photography and fine art nudes, and how it doesn't have to be Playboy. So that's kind of how I started out. And then 2001, I moved to Los Angeles. I was 31 at that point, so fashion photography wasn't an option, and so I decided to become a photographer.
So prior to doing the modeling stuff, you were doing whatever typical models would do. Whatever job came along, you would model.
Yeah, I did a lot of runway. I did a lot of print work, et cetera, and so forth.
Was there ever an interest in photography when you were younger, when you were a kid?
When I graduated from high school, I thought about going to school to be a photojournalist. And my parents bought me a Pentax K1000, just as every photographer has had one, probably. I started taking pictures with that, and then I just put it down, and I lost complete interest in photography until I graduated from college and moved to New Orleans. And New Orleans really gave me so much of an artistic eye and an artistic kind of vibe and soul, because the city's got music everywhere, you've got photographers everywhere, you've got art everywhere. I think everyone should spend some time there if they're an artist and really absorb the environment because of what it did for me.
How do you compare an area like where you're at now in the Los Angeles, Southern California area to New Orleans? Big difference, but is there any relationship at all or nothing?
New Orleans, there's nothing like it.
It's like a different country.
It's a totally different country. It's a totally different vibe. The people there are much more into community. I think I'm kind of starting to find that community in Los Angeles through A&I. The people at A&I have been just absolutely wonderful to me. And all the photographers that I've shown with in their gallery there have been amazing, and I love them all. So I think community is kind of lacking here in Los Angeles, and hopefully that aspect of being a photographer in LA and being so remote and so unattached to something, but yet everybody wants to be attached to it. But I think that's the difference between the two cities.
So, Zoe, let's explain figure photography and what we would dub as a fine art nude compared to what a lot of other people would think of boudoir or other types of portrait photography and how these things sort of differ.
Right. Well, boudoir is really more along the lines of erotica. It showcases the sexuality of an individual. It tries to make them as sexual as possible, which is lovely for that genre. But fine art nudes, to me, separate sexual aspects and turn it more into a design aspect or a oneness with nature, just something completely devoid of sexuality.
I think you're very right with that. I think if you look at a lot of your work and the stuff you're shooting and people have shot of you, it's not really explicit sexual. It's human figure form.
Correct.
And it blends in with landscape. And so I think the two sort of combine very well. When you're with nature, it changes the whole thing completely.
Right. And when a model is poised on a rock, I consider models for fine art nude photography more actresses or actors than models, because they have to be able to absorb a scene and understand where their body is supposed to be in the landscape or what attitude you're trying to convey in a studio. It's definitely more of an acting aspect. Like, they're still actors. That's kind of how I envision it. Because sometimes I'll have ideas in the studio that are completely and totally different from what ideas I would have if I'm working in the desert or in the forest in Topanga.
Exactly. Do you find that you definitely like to do your figure photography more on locations in a remote setting compared to a studio setting, or how do you differ the two between what you want to go out and shoot there and what you might do in studio?
Well, when I go out in the field, so to speak, I am looking for nature to give me some magic. It's completely serendipitous. You go walking around into the desert, into these rocks, and you see an area of light, and then you get an idea. Whereas in a studio setting, I usually have a strict idea that I want to convey. And it's usually like some dream I had or some aspect of my subconscious that comes out with it. And it's more rigid and less fluid than working in a landscape, so to speak.
So tell me the typical consumer of what they're shooting.
Somebody who would buy the prints.
Yeah, let's look at the collector. I mean, are we going to have someone that is into figures completely? Is it going to be a landscape person? Is this something that somebody's going to buy for a nice print over their couch? I mean, what do you find that the consumers of figure study photography would typically be? I think it's a much different market, and I think if people really dig into it, look at some of the stuff you've done for displays. I mean, look at some of the work that Leonard Nimoy is doing, and a lot of people are doing these figure studies that are not sexual at all.
Right, and a lot of women, more than men, are enjoying the work. I have equal women to men who buy my prints. And I think, not to get into feminism, But I think that with fine art nude photography, photographers have the ability to make a woman or a man look amazingly strong and powerful. And I think people that see this work like to have this on their wall to remind them that, yes, femininity is powerful. And I think those are the people who do enjoy the work and who do like to have it in their homes or even in hotels. I had a hotel buy my work once to put in their spa.
Now, here's a question. You talk about it being feminine, but then if you look at a lot of the stuff that's on some of your websites, so we're going to talk about this because you have a huge web presence here with a lot of other photographers and models. You really find this to be 99.5% female models, correct?
Correct. And I don't know why that is. I find that a lot of men are shy, and I don't know why, because I think there needs to be much more of a male presence in nude photography and finding the right men to be in the photos to convey and a piece of art would be great.
Yeah, I just found that interesting that there wasn't a lot of guys in a lot of these photos.
Yeah, there's not. And the men that I have approached are quite shy about it. They don't want to. I don't think it's because no one wants to shoot men. I just think that there's not a lot of them that do the work.
It is quite interesting in how, like you said, the female form conveys femininity, but then you don't see any guys. So maybe now's a chance for people to step up.
Yeah.
Get some photography done.
Get some more guys out there. Sometimes I think that there needs to be more of a strength in men because there's not a lot of women shooting nudes. There's a lot of men shooting nudes, and they get used to shooting women. They're used to the poses that women do, and sometimes I see male nudes, and the photographers have directed them as they would direct a woman. Do you know what I mean?
Well, exactly. I mean, so here's the thing. Why is it that there's not more women shooting nudes? I don't think there's less women photographers now. I mean, of course, there's probably more guys doing it.
There's a lot of models that are becoming photographers. And I think the models that I know who are starting to shoot, I think there's where you're going to find a lot of your women photographers. Like a friend of mine, Kat Love, started doing a series of self-portraits. Because when you're a model, you have an easy subject to practice with and to convey your emotions with. So there's a lot of art models that are starting to pick up the camera now. I haven't seen a lot of fashion models, but there are a lot of art models that have picked up a Holga or got an old Rolly or something, and they're starting to do self-portraits and photograph other models that they know. So I think that's where a lot of the new female photographers are going to end up coming from.
What drove you to start taking your own pictures?
It was a funny story. When I started ArtNudes.com back in 1997, I used to get a lot of photographers together in New Orleans, and we would shoot content for the website. I would do a lot of art directing with them, and they would pick out locations. We'd just go and have fun in New Orleans and take pictures, then post the pictures online for people to buy and subscribe to. But one shoot I set up with Carlton Mickle in New Orleans got canceled right after we had the studio all set up and makeup on the model and everything. Carlton had to run off to an emergency, and he put his camera in my hand and said, "Do this. You know what you're doing. Just shoot it." So that was my first shoot.
Wow, how cool is that?
It was kind of funny. I was really nervous about doing it, but once I got the pictures back, I just kind of thought, well, it's not so bad. I can do this, and then I just started doing it.
That is cool. So you start shooting, and this is what, 01? When did you start shooting? When you called yourself, okay, Zoe's now a photographer, besides a model and a webmaster and a genius of marketing.
About 2000.
What did you go out and buy? What was your first camera?
A Holga.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I got a Holga, and I started doing Holga imagery. Had quite a lot of fun with that, and all my Holga work got published in a magazine in Germany, and that gave me quite a self-confidence boost. So I really got into shooting with a Holga and medium format film. Then they came out with the Polaroid back for the Holga. So I started shooting Polaroid Type 85 with my Holga and did a series of pictures with that. Then after kind of defining my craft with the Holga, I branched off into other cameras. Got a 35mm Nikon FM and a Rollycord. Bryce Lankard, loves him. He gave me a Speed Graphic 4x5, and then I started getting into shooting Type 55 Polaroid. So that's kind of how it all worked out.
And what are you shooting currently? Still with the Holga stuff?
Yes, I still have a refrigerator full of Type 85 Polaroid, thankfully.
Really? Cool.
I went to Sammy's, I went to Freestyle, I went everywhere and bought up all the Type 85 Polaroid I could, just keep it in the refrigerator underneath the house.
Is it holding up pretty well?
Yeah, miraculously. I haven't had an issue with it. It's all doing good.
So do you like the instant photography better than, say, shooting black and white roll film or color? Do you like color, black and white more?
I like black and white a lot more.
Yeah?
Yeah, I see things in black and white. I see designs and shadows. And I like to solarize my negatives when I'm shooting with the Type 85. Because all the shadows, instead of turning them black, it'll turn them all silver. And so it does something really amazing to the shadows when you hold that Polaroid negative up to the sun that you can only get with Type 85 or Type 665 film because they're basically the same chemical makeup.
Right.
It's really amazing. But the difference, I think, is when I'm working with the models because when they see that Polaroid, they get ideas. When they see a Polaroid, they know, okay, I need to move my body this way, or that shadow is cutting to here, so they know where to place their body. When I'm working with the film, it's hard for them to judge just how well the shoot is going. So it's a different aspect. It's totally different.
Do you find, Zoe, that people that are shooting fine art nude and figure studies and a lot of what you guys are doing tend to use analog products more than digital? Or is everybody shooting digital now and you're one of the last holdouts?
Well, there's quite a few people that are still shooting film, and I know them all. it's all digital, I think, now, which digital has its place. I just don't see it for me. I'm doing all personal work here, and nothing for me is instantly gratifying. I have to work on the image. I think that a digital camera for me, I'd spend way more time looking at the back of the camera than I would shooting. And I don't want to sit there in the back of a menu on a digital camera and sleep. Oh, is my exposure on? What's going on here? And blah, blah, blah. And then as a model, I shot with somebody, and you know the saying, spray and pray.
Right.
Where they just hope for a good image out of it. And I don't work that way.
Not with a Holga.
Yeah, I really like to take my time and set up the scene and make sure that it's right. And the model only has to hold the pose once. And it makes for a more fun and relaxing shoot for me to work with film because it's not instantly gratifying. You have to wait. You have to see if you did good. There's an anticipation aspect for it.
Yeah, but doesn't it also help build your confidence as well, correct?
Absolutely, because then you see the film and you develop it and print it. Like, okay, I know what I'm doing. It's good.
So let's talk about, of course, the instant stuff. Have you been playing around with any Fuji instant pack film? Do you shoot any negative? Tell me what else you're shooting besides your hark of quality Polaroid goodies.
I just got the 600 back from my Holga. So I've been putting in some Fuji color film in my Holga and just going around and shooting my cats and stuff like that with the Fuji instant film. I really wish, because I know they're listening, that Fuji would do a positive negative film. So I just wanted to get that out there.
That would be cool. You're right.
Somebody needs to bring back the positive negative film. I don't know if the Impossible Project is going to do it or not, or if they're even going to try. I know they've got their hands full with all the instant film that they're doing now. So it's just hard for me to accept that positive-negative film is going to go away. It has to come back. And I hope Fuji will take up the cause, because there's a lot of artists that really depend on that for their work. But anyway, aside from that, the only digital camera I own is my iPhone. So I've been shooting with my iPhone a lot.
And I might say some great stuff, too. Very cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I just started a website 2 days ago, iPhoneartography.com, and people can upload their own iPhone pictures there, too, if they want.
Oh, it is very cool. So, Zoe, how do people get into figure photography and trying to express this type of art and not be seen as some creepy?
It depends a lot on the quality of their other work. When models are looking for photographers to work with, or photographers are asking models to work with them, they better have some good work to show that they're not just the guy that goes out and just sprays and pays and wants bikini girls to see in front of their photos. Because that's really not what it's about. I have a website called artnudes.com. There's a lot of models and photographers on there now. And it's been growing and growing ever since I started it. But that's basically where all the fine art nude photography models are. There's other websites like One Model Place, but they don't cater specifically to the fine art nude photography genre, which my website does cater to. And I do monitor quite carefully who's on there and what kind of people I get. I think any of the models or photographers who are serious about doing figure photography should join up, because that's where you're going to find all the fine art models that are willing to give themselves to your art or to your creation. And this fine art community is very, very, very small. And there's a lot of word of mouth that goes around about who's a good photographer to work with. And models do talk, so I think that's a good way for people to get involved if they want to. You like a photographer's work, see if they're teaching a workshop, or contact them and ask how they got involved. I'm sure many of the photographers out there who are shooting fine art nudes would love to give their input.
Now, are you helping people besides running all the great websites and all the other work you're doing?
For 9 years now, I've been having an artist retreat for my website. And photographers and models come, and we all gather for a week in a beautiful spot somewhere on the earth. Last year, we went to Australia.
Wow.
We've had it near Joshua Tree. We've had it near Sequoia National Park. We just rent out a hotel, and it's a great way to gather people who are all interested in this work. We do slideshows at night. We do print trading. We talk about how best to market our work. I think marketing is pretty much all internet-based in our world today. So we talk a lot about what avenues to go down in order to get their work out there so they can get published and people buy their work, et cetera, and so forth.
Well, bringing up the whole marketing thing here with the internet, and I think a lot of your stuff's been published in Europe. Let's chat about marketing and how you get your work out. Fine art nudes and figure study is, I think, more acceptable in Europe and other parts of the world than what's going on in the U.S. because of being nude.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with the United States. We didn't have that problem in New Orleans. New Orleans is more open. Yeah, New Orleans is way more open. Like, we wanted to shoot on the Natchez steamboat one day, and we told a cop that we wanted to do it, and the cop standard guard for us. They don't care.
Well, you weren't doing creepy stuff, right? This is all very tasteful, and they could see what was going down.
Absolutely not. So New Orleans is a great city for photography. It's amazing. But it's pretty much the closest thing you can get to Europe, I think, in the United States, as far as openness and such goes. But as far as marketing, my website, figuremodels.org, communityzoe.com, and artnews.com, they're all kind of attached to each other. I have it set up so people can blog about their work. They can post to their Twitter accounts. We all have Twitter accounts. We all have Facebook accounts. I just joined Tumblr, and it's a lot of research into how to make it all work and how to bring all these social networks so they all see you. And before all this started happening, I used to get requests from a lot of magazines and books in Europe who had just seen my work on the internet. So I never submitted. They all saw me and asked me to be in their book or in their magazine. I think that a lot of publishers in Europe realize that that's where they're going to find their talent, is on the internet. New, fresh talent is what I think Europe is all about. And here in the United States, I don't know why we can't get past the dead artist, but there's a lot of museums and big galleries who are way more interested in publishing, say, Edward Weston or Ruth Benard, than they would be interested in publishing or showcasing, say, a new upcoming artist, because it's safe. So,
well, I guess that's part of the deal. Like you said, it's safe, and they need to make a bunch of money off of somebody. So,
yeah, it's tried and true and tested, and they know they're not going to be looked down upon for showing a nude, God forbid.
Well, do you find that galleries are more open to that, or there's still, like you said, old school, old dead guys that shot black and white trees, and that's safe, and there you go?
Some galleries are still in that mode. I think they need to do a lot of catching up. I hope they're not angry at me for saying so. But spaces like ANI Photographic, who see photographers on a daily basis and who are publishing their books and working with them a lot, they get to see this work coming in their lab all the time. So it's really, really great that they have a gallery now that they can showcase work from upcoming artists. So I really enjoy that about them. And they get great foot traffic because they're open every day.
Now, I'm assuming you use ANI for all your lab, your processing, scanning.
I do most of my processing myself. All my printing is done by A&I. They have the Ilford Digital Silver Prints. So it's basically a digital negative process traditionally.
That's a great process. Okay. I mean, basically, they take true Ilford black and white paper, write on it with a laser, and run it through traditional chemical, and you actually have a silver gelatin, F-surface, or whatever you want. I think they have a couple different surface papers. And you got a real black and white print, except it was gone through the digital intermediary to be born, but it's still a black and white print. It's still real.
Correct. It's not inkjet. Thank goodness.
Right.
All the dark rooms and everything have closed in L.A. There's no dark rooms anymore that I know of. And I don't have one at home. I used to go to a dark room in Santa Monica. I forget the name of it, but it's no longer there. All the dark rooms are gone. It's really sad.
It's getting hard to find the kind of stuff where you can just walk in and run a dark room for a few hours and split.
Yeah.
Not many left.
No.
So, Zoe, what do you look forward to with your photography moving forward? Are you doing any modeling anymore? What are you looking for that's cool? What are you doing coming up that just got you all excited and happy to be a photographer?
Well, I just had a big show of my work, and it was a 10-year retrospective. So at the moment, I'm kind of unsure of where I'm going, as everyone kind of gets in that place in my life as a photographer. So I would love to put out another book of my work. I'm looking forward to doing a collective book with all the artists that went to the Australia Artist Retreat that I held. So I'm going to put that out through A&I. Then, I don't know. We'll see.
What place do you dig the most when it comes to the combination of a figure and an outdoor location?
I really love the desert, just because of all the shadows and this harsh light and this barren landscape, and it's just really impressive. And you can seclude one area to make it look smaller and more as a graphic design or a graphic element in your picture than just this barren landscape. So it's really neat to play around in the desert. Plus, there's nobody around that's going to give you a hassle. The occasional rock climber, and they don't care.
No, they're going to be cool. Okay, and they're going to move on.
Speaking of people who walk in on a shoot, I was up in Malibu shooting someone, and we got up on top of this rock, and we couldn't see him before, but she was naked, and we're climbing up on top of this rock to shoot the ocean behind her. And we look over, and the county had brought in prisoners to do brush clearance. So there's all these guys.
Oh, and they're just like
down.
Quiet, like, don't say a word.
Yeah, it was really, really quiet. You could hear a pin drop, except for the wind. And then all of a sudden, you hear all these guys go, woo! Probably made their day. They probably haven't seen a woman in all how long. Interesting things happen when you're out in the field.
Yeah, definitely so. So we have a multitude of ways that people can get a hold of you, look at your work, and all this cool stuff you're up to. Let's chat about where they can look at your blogs and the websites and all this great work you've been doing for all these years.
Well, my personal website is zoewiseman.com, zoewiseman.com. And you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. I also have communityzoe.com. where photographers can upload their images for critique. Other members there will happily give you a critique of their work or just tell you that they like it. That's where I've gathered photographers from my website to do my artist retreat. And then I have figuremodels.org, which is designed for blogging. You can have your own blog there. You can find models there. It's really set up for networking. You can post your work and send it to Twitter, and everybody on Twitter will see your work. So it's really set up for networking at figuremodels.org, whereas Community Zoe is more of a critique kind of website to get feedback on your work. I have several blogs set up over there of my own that you can find, but all my work is at zoewiseman.com.
Yeah, this is beautiful photography. It's so cool that you're helping photographers, models, you're shooting film, you're digging Polaroid stuff. This is great work, and I really appreciate you joining us today, and it's so cool that you're helping models and photographers get together and just extend this great genre of photography, and it's great stuff.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate that. And thanks for having me on.
Well, there you go. Zoe Weissman. Definitely check out her work. Beautiful photography, great modeling, just a great person, really influential in the fine art nude community. Lots of work she's doing on her website. She's a great help to many, many people. Definitely check out her website at www.zoeweissman. That's Z-O-E. WISEMAN.com. The Inside Analog Photo Radio Program has been brought to you by Fujifilm for their full line of instant cameras and film, and of course, Find quality Fuji Crystal Archive paper over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional. Our friends at Photo Publicist, worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the finest quality lab in the country, richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5 for black and white chrome at dr5.com. Upstrap for the finest quality camera strap that will not slide off your shoulder at upstrap-pro.com. Our friends over at Iger Studios at igerstudios.com. And of course, our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group at apug.org and our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House, over at eastmanhouse.org. I've been your host, Scott Shepard, here on Inside Analog Photo. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.